My name's Ellie Whiteford. I've been coming to Oasis for about a year now. It's been wonderful, such a blessing to me, and a very special time every week. Always look forward to it. I'm married to a brilliant bearded Ulsterman called James, and we have two little boys called George and Johnny, who are making us laugh a lot right now. George has got an awful cold at the moment. He said, "Mummy, it's my allergies this morning." He's three, so he makes us laugh a lot. I wanted to talk this morning about peace and about us being women of peace. And as always seems the way when I prepare a talk, the Lord always pinpoints what's going on in my heart. And so this week there have been difficult people everywhere. I've been thinking and praying a lot about friends and family that I'm finding hard and what it means to pursue peace with them. George, my three-year-old, has been coming home from preschool and telling me about his day and saying, you know, this person's my friend today, but this person's not my friend. James has been coming home from work and telling me about his day and concerned about colleagues who are fighting, who aren't talking, and there's tension everywhere, isn't there? There's division everywhere. And as we saw yesterday, it's shocking. Tension, division, discord is everywhere. But as children of God, we have been called to live our lives His way. And He is the ultimate peacemaker. And I think this is such an important area for each one of us, for the health of each one of us, and for the health of our church as well. And we, each of us, have such an important part to play in it. And I want, before I start, I just, please know that I'm saying all of this to myself primarily. I'm very aware of my own shortcomings. But we're going to take a look at the what, the why, and how of being women who pursue peace. So firstly, what are we being asked to do? There are so many passages to choose from, but I've taken a couple. So Hebrews, first of all, chapter 12, verses 14 to 15, says, "Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will ever see the Lord. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many." And then Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, "You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, 'Do not murder,' and 'Anyone who murders will be subject to judgment.' But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to his brother, 'Raca,' is answerable to the Sanhedrin. But anyone who says, 'You fool,' will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift." At a church I used to go to a long time ago, I encountered the peace for the first time. And it wasn't explained from the front. We were just told to give one another the sign of the peace, and there ensued a lot of awkward handshaking and hugs, and I didn't quite know what was going on. I found out afterwards the symbolism behind the peace, the sign of the peace, that it is to reconcile and make peace with one another before you take communion, which is a very right and wonderful intention. But at that church, it quickly became apparent that a lot of people shaking hands weren't actually at peace with one another, and they weren't working at peace with one another. It was very much an outward thing that they were doing, and it was devastating and heartbreaking, and there was a lot of trouble that went on in that church. It's very much an empty gesture. If it worked well, it could be very powerful, but in that place, it didn't. I had a slide. Don't worry, keep going. Anyway, the passages we read earlier, Hebrews and Matthew, show us a very clear command by Jesus and then the writer to the Hebrews, to make peace as far as we're able to with everyone, to really work at it and pursue it. The onus is on us, and there's effort involved. We're not to bury our head in the sands, but this is an active pursuit of peace with everybody that we meet, everybody in our lives. And as women, I wish we could say that we have a better reputation for being peacemakers than we do. Let's just take a look at some of the slides I found. I don't hold grudges. I hold memories that keep me better prepared for our next encounter. And the next one. It's coming. It's along similar lines. Don't worry. It's coming. There we go. I don't believe in holding grudges. I do, however, remember facts forever. And then the next one is just an awful picture. But men fighting, 2 minutes later, they're hugging. Girls fighting, and 20 years later. And we laugh, but sadly, a lot of that's true. I like the one about the next encounter, because I know that far too often I've spent a lot of time rehearsing in my head, you know, the inner monologue of what I should have said in a conversation or what I will say next time. And bitterness really starting to take root in my heart. And I think sometimes that can be quite a comfortable place for us, can't it? We can be feeling in the right, we can be feeling a bit, you know, a bit proud, a bit offended. But the Hebrews passage, it urges us to be alert for any bitterness and not to give it a garden to take root and to grow in. If we think about grace for a moment, grace is undeserved favor, unmerited favor that God has showered on each one of us. It's unfair advantage. We're a step ahead of the world, not because of anything that we've done, but everything that Jesus did through dying on the cross and rising again for us. And it's also complete forgiveness. He forgets my sin as far as the east is from the west. My sin can't be any further from me. But there's a condition on that forgiveness, though. Remember part of the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. The condition is that we do the same thing that we ask God to do for us. And, you know, I think one of the devil's biggest weapons against us in this spiritual battle that we're in is the spirit of offense. He absolutely loves it when we get offended by others. It starts off as us getting hurt by someone, and then the offense and the bitterness coming. And so we really need to prepare ourselves with the armor of God that we have been talking about over the last few weeks. We need to forgive people regularly, daily, as God forgives us. And we need to actively pursue peace and not let anything take root. When we make the decision to follow Jesus, we're saying to Jesus, we want more of you and less of me. Really to make us more the people that he made us to be in the first place. And we're saying, Lord Jesus, take root and grow in us. And there's this beautiful passage in Colossians that talks about the old clothes that we need to discard, the old clothes that we need to take off, because that was the life before, and the new clothes that we need to put on. It says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. You used to walk in these ways, in the life that you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you are called to peace. It's a hard call, but it's what we're made for. We're going to think a bit about why do we live like this. And very simply, first of all, we're to work at being women of peace because it's what our Lord and our King asks us to do. But also, because it's what he's done for us, the ultimate reconciliation took place for us at Easter on the cross. Jesus intentionally went to the cross for you and for me to cancel our debt, to set us free to be our glory selves. Amazing grace. And we're to pursue peace because it's also part of our journey in holiness, our sanctification, our being made holy. We're not meant to stay the same in our lives here on earth and then be changed in glory. Our transformation is taking place here in the gritty and the glorious day-to-day of our lives as we walk forwards hand in hand with Jesus, involving him in everything that happens every day. He's making us whole. He's putting us back together again. And we're becoming what we were made for. We're working towards what it was like in Eden, free fruit incident, and what it will be like when we meet God again, face to face. Revelation 24 says, now the dwelling of God is with men and he will live with them. They will be his people and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. So we're going to know perfect peace there. And each one of us pursuing peace, it also means true freedom for each one of us as we walk in the way the Lord wants us to. And we're no longer chained or tied or tangled by guilt or fear or anger towards those that we're not at peace with. So how then do we live like this practically? What can we do? And I've just come up with a few things. I'm sure there will be more, which I would love you to talk about in your groups after this. But firstly, I think we need to really keep short accounts with people and let things go sometimes. And if someone has really hurt us, we need to let them know how we feel. Let's learn to talk about the things that upset us and hurt us well. And as a person who absolutely hates confrontation, I know how hard that is, but I'm trying to start to do that. If we're the ones that have caused pain or upset, then we need to say sorry. We need to make sure that we say sorry and that we make amends very quickly. If we've been hurt, letting people know how we feel and giving them the opportunity to apologize, to say sorry to you, and to ask for forgiveness is vital. Because I think so often we can moan and grumble about other people and we assume that that person knows that we're hurting. They know how we're feeling, but often they don't. And I think we can hold people to ransom a bit or badmouth them to others. And that's not kind, that's not gentle, it's not patient, and it's not hope-filled. And I would love for myself and for us all, I would love it if there are people that we find difficult, not to think of them with anger, but to actually think, I want to be full of hope for you, of what you can be, of your glory self, of what God wants to make you into. We need to learn and practice forgiveness regularly. We need to get into rhythms of forgiveness. If people are occupying our minds, we need to do that on a daily basis. We don't want to hold on to a grudge, but actually release them into God's care and pray for them. He urges us to pray for our enemies. We also need to trust the Lord with them. He's the one that's going to hold people to account and ensure justice. Thankfully, that's not up to us. But he still asks us to work at pursuing peace. And in all of this, we're not on our own. He's with us and helps us through his Holy Spirit with us all the time. We can do this step in step, hand in hand with him. If we're not feeling love for someone, working at peace with them means choosing to do the action of love. It means choosing to be kind, humble, choosing to be gentle, and choosing to be patient, choosing to bear with them and forgive whatever grievance you have. That's the action of love. And sometimes the feelings follow. Sometimes they don't, but actually that's what God is interested in, us doing the action. And I think we have a responsibility as well to urge our brothers and sisters in church to pursue peace with one another and not to be content being bitter or moaning or grumbling behind people's backs. That's where the devil gets a foothold. And that's not of God. So, where we can do that kindly, gently, really helping and encouraging one another to pursue peace, let's do it. I think it's important to say that in working towards peace, it's as far as we're able to, or in our power to. There are some people that we will try to make peace with who might not want to receive us, or they might not want to make amends for whatever reason. And that's sad and that's really painful. But there will be times when we will just have to hand those people over to God and trust him with them. And if we're the ones that have caused hurt or division, and we've tried to make true and honest amends, but they don't want to hear it, we need to be reassured of God's forgiveness for us. I want to end with quite an extreme example of a woman striving and struggling to pursue peace as she followed Jesus. And you have probably heard it before. I grew up in Holland, and I remember hearing about Corrie ten Boom from an early age, and we went to visit her clock shop, and it was, I remember just being fascinated how she and her family hid Jews from the occupying Nazi forces. And she and her family were imprisoned for what they did. And in this excerpt, she describes how 2 years after the end of the war, she'd been in Ravensbrück prison, and her sister Betsy had died there. She describes in this excerpt how she encountered one of the prison guards at a church meeting. So I'm just going to read this, it's quite long, but it's important. So it was in a church in Munich that I saw him, a balding, heavy-set man in a grey overcoat, a brown felt hat clutched between his hands. People were filing out of the basement room where I had just spoken, moving along the rows of wooden chairs to the door at the rear. It was 1947, and I'd come from Holland to defeated Germany with the message that God forgives. It was the truth they needed to hear, they needed most to hear in that bitter, bombed-out land. And I gave them my favourite mental picture. Maybe because the sea is never far from a Hollander's mind, I like to think that that's where forgiven sins were thrown. When we confess our sins, I said, God casts them into the deepest ocean, gone forever. The solemn faces stared back at me, not quite daring to believe. There were never questions after a talk in Germany in 1947. People stood up in silence collected their wraps, in silence left the room. And that's when I saw him, working his way forward against the others. One moment I saw the overcoat and the brown hat, the next a blue uniform and a visored cap with its skull and crossbones. It came back with a rush. The huge room with its harsh overhead lights, the pathetic pile of dresses and shoes in the center of the floor, the shame of walking naked past this man. I could see my sister's frail form ahead of me, ribs sharp beneath the parchment skin. Betsy, how thin you were. Now he was in front of me, hand thrust out, a fine message, Fräulein. How good it is to know that, as you say, all our sins are at the bottom of the sea. And I, who had spoken so glibly of forgiveness, fumbled in my pocketbook rather than take that hand. He would not remember me, of course. How could he remember one prisoner among those thousands of women? But I remembered him and the leather crop swinging from his belt. I was face to face with one of my captors, and my blood seemed to freeze. You mentioned Ravensbrück in your talk, he was saying. I was a guard there. No, he did not remember me. But since that time, he went on, I've become a Christian. I know that God has forgiven me for the cruel things I did there, but I would like to hear it from your lips as well. Fräulein, again the hand came out, will you forgive me? And I stood there, I whose sins had again and again to be forgiven and could not forgive. Betsy had died in that place. Could he erase her slow, terrible death simply for the asking? It could not have been many seconds that he stood there, hand held out, but to me it seemed hours as I wrestled with the most difficult thing I had ever had to do. For I had to do it. I knew that. The message that God forgives has a prior condition, that we forgive those who have injured us. If you do not forgive men their trespasses, Jesus says, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. I knew it not only as a commandment of God, but as a daily experience. Since the end of the war, I had had a home in Holland for victims of Nazi brutality. Those who were able to forgive their former enemies were able also to return to the outside world and rebuild their lives, no matter what the physical scars. But those who nursed their bitterness remained invalids. It was as simple and as horrible as that. And still I stood there with the coldness clutching my heart. But forgiveness is not an emotion. I knew that too. Forgiveness is an act of the will, and the will can function regardless of the temperature of the heart. Help, I prayed silently. I can lift my hand. I can do that much. You supply the feeling. And so, woodenly, mechanically, I thrust my hand into the one stretched out to me. And as I did, an incredible thing took place. The current started in my shoulder, raced down my arm, sprang into our joined hands, and then this healing warmth seemed to flood my whole being, bringing tears to my eyes. I forgive you, brother, I cried, with all my heart. And for a long moment, we grasped each other's hands, the former guard and the former prisoner, and I had never known God's love so intensely as I did then. It's wonderful, isn't it? I just want to end by saying that we each of us have to do this. We have to be women of peace, and we do that hand in hand with the Holy Spirit, working at peace and striving for it in his strength. We don't do it on our own. And it's just my prayer that we are women who are marked by peace in this church here together, and that we take it outside as well, that's who people see us as. I think this is a really special community, and it's going to be even more powerful as each of us makes small choices every day to pursue peace and not bitterness. So I'm going to pray for us in a minute, but we're just going to have a bit of time, a few minutes. It's going to be a little bit of music, and I just wanted to take a few minutes to think about the state of our hearts right now and relationships we're in. This is really time to do business with God. Yeah, I want you to think about, is there anyone that I need to forgive right now? Is there anything you need to do? Is there anyone you're angry with? Someone who's hurt you? Do you need to forgive or say sorry? It might be one person, it might be a few. But just spend some time in his presence. In his love, in his care right now, and just, share those people with him. And after a few minutes, some of the leadership team are going to be up at the front, and I would love each and every one of us just to come up for just a quick prayer, short prayer of blessing on your friendships and on your life, and that you will be a woman of peace who really pursues that. If there's anything in particular you would like prayer for, the team would be happy to pray for that too. Otherwise, it will just be a short prayer, and then after you've had that, just if you want to go into your groups and talk about what you've heard, or use that time as you see fit. So let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are the ultimate peacemaker. Lord, thank you that you came down in Jesus to reconcile us to yourself, and all because you loved us. Father, thank you that we are, each one of us here, so precious in your sight, that you know us, you know every part of us, you know the things that bring us joy right now, you know the things that are struggling, that we're struggling with, you know the people that we're struggling with. But Father, I pray that we would, each of us, be women who pursue peace, because we are your daughters, and that is what you do. And I pray, Lord, that we would know your help. I pray that we would know we are not on our own. And Lord, you would give us everything we need to make amends when we need to bring peace where it's needed. And we pray, Lord, for transformed lives. We pray that many, many people would come to know you as a result. So Lord, we just pray, we invite you to come right now and just minister to us in the quiet. In Jesus' name, amen.